stocks rose today. Why? Somebody blinked when it comes to the U.S. trade war. It's the Business News Hour for Thursday, the 17th of January, coming to you from Mobile, Alabama, and thanks so much for being with us again today. In other business news, the tax cut is having unintended consequences among some big banks, this time Morgan Stanley. Another bombshell today regarding the Trump administration, we will share that with you. Shutdown and unemployment, it's all got a catch. Retail experts say it's just a matter of time before we lose four big national retailers. We'll tell you who those are. Those stories and much more, plus we'll chat a bit with Stephen Haas from DLS Worldwide. He's part of the R.R. Donnelly family, and we'll be talking a little bit about transportation in America and internationally, as well as something called the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association. We are broadcasting today from Mobile, Alabama. Hang in there with us. The business news is coming up next.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of Arion, human resources, payroll, and call center help for businesses. AUREON.com. AARP of Iowa. Real possibilities. AARP, Iowa. The Business News Hour, also presented by Tero International, your elite training team at TERO.com. The Business News is next.
What keeps you up at night? The unknowns of running a business, growing pains, benefit cost increases, whatever's keeping you up, Arion can give you peace of mind when it comes to HR services. Arion helps you navigate the complexities of employment by providing attractive and competitive benefits, handling your payroll, onboarding, compliance, and more. Plus, Arion is local, so you can have face-to-face interaction with your HR experts. Turn business concerns into business success. Visit AUREON.com.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Tero International. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tero. TERO.com. And the Iowa Business Journals. News and information for small to mid-sized businesses. IowaBusinessJournals.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour, broadcasting today from Mobile, Alabama, during the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association meeting. Grateful to have you along for the ride again, as always. You want to reach out to us on Twitter, you can do that. We are at IOB_NewsHour. Me personally, you can find me at Michael Libby. Libby is spelled L-I-B-B-I-E. Let's get into it, shall we? Don't look now, but somebody blinked in the U.S.-China trade dispute, and the market reacted to the positive. A report surfaced today out of comments from Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin that the U.S. would ease tariffs on Chinese goods. Now, that piece of news was then downplayed by U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer, who said that any concessions the U.S. would throw out there would be seen as weakness by the Chinese. But no matter. Investors took that as a good signal and sent the Dow up by 250 points before paring gains later in the trading session. The Dow, by the way, did close up by 162 points and change, and I'll have all the numbers later in the newscast. Well, investment bank Morgan Stanley said today that fourth quarter results came up short of analysts' expectations. Why? Well, they blame the massive tax cut bill of last year. This is something reported by other big banks as well. So you might be wondering, what the heck is the deal? Well, Morgan Stanley's results were affected by the passage of the Republican tax law. Banks had to make accounting adjustments by writing off billions of dollars in what are known as tax-deferred assets. In addition, and like other banks, Morgan Stanley struggled through the nauseating market movements that defined the last 3 months of 2018. Can you say the word volatility? Well, the bank also posted a drop of $200 million in other investment banking services, which Morgan Stanley describes as losses in its corporate lending business. Morgan Stanley's wealth management arm, which is supposed to report steadier revenues and profits, also reported declines today, and that weighed on the market. Well, this was a stunning development today, and it could have far-reaching implications. Are you ready? According to a story in the Wall Street Journal, this starts back in 2015 when a man who runs a small technology company showed up at Trump Tower to collect $50,000 for having helped Michael Cohen, then Donald Trump's personal lawyer, try to rig online polls in his boss's favor before the presidential campaign. Now, in his Trump Organization office, Mr. Cohen surprised the man, his name is John Geiger, by giving him a blue Walmart bag, we're not making this up, containing between $12,000 and $13,000 in cash, and randomly, a boxing glove that Mr. Cohen said had been worn by a Brazilian mixed martial arts fighter. All of that, according to Mr. Geiger. Mr. Cohen has disputed that he handed over a bag of cash and went on to say, quote, all monies paid to Mr. Geiger were in check form, offering no further comment or on his ties to the consultant, by the way. Mr. Geiger owns Redfinch Solutions, LLC, and is chief information officer at Liberty University in Virginia, where Jerry Falwell Jr., an evangelical leader and fervent Trump supporter, is president. Mr. Geiger said that he never got the rest of what he claimed he was owed, but Mr. Cohen in early 2017 still asked for and received a $50,000 reimbursement from Mr. Trump and his company for the work by Redfinch, that according to a government document and a person familiar with the matter. The reimbursement made on the sole basis of a handwritten note from Mr. Cohen and paid largely out of Mr. Trump's personal account demonstrates the level of trust the lawyer once had within the Trump Organization, whose officials arranged the repayment. The Trump Organization has so far declined comment. There is so much more to this story than what we've got time to report here. You should probably check it out yourself. Well, as the government shutdown continues and federal workers face the possibility of another missed paycheck, many may file for unemployment benefits to help cover housing costs, groceries, and other necessities. Earlier in January, CNBC reported that more than 4,700 federal employees filed for unemployment in the last week of December, compared with 929 the week prior. That all according to the Department of Labor. That number, by the way, is expected to increase significantly. And the relief from unemployment does have some strings to it. Only workers who have been furloughed or deemed non-essential to their departments can actually apply for unemployment benefits. Employees who are exempted, meaning they must continue performing their typical job duties without compensation until the shutdown ends, are ineligible to receive unemployment benefits as they are entitled to payment for the hours they have worked. You can't collect. Back on January 16th, President Donald Trump signed legislation that guaranteed all furloughed workers would be paid once the government reopens. The bill also mandates that employees in the same situation in possible future shutdowns will also get back pay. The House and Senate cleared the bill last week. It does not specifically state when employees will see any money, only that they will be paid as soon as possible once the shutdown ends. Now, while the legislation is great news for roughly 380,000 furloughed federal employees, it does present a challenge to those who are counting on unemployment benefits to make ends meet until this back payment is in hand. According to the U.S. Office of Personnel Management, in most states and the District of Columbia, any unemployment benefits workers receive must be repaid if they are paid retroactively for the time they were not working during the government shutdown. Are you following all that? We thought so. You know, for months we've been talking about Sears and Kmart, two name brands that have been iconic in the United States for decades and now nearly gone. Retail experts say that the following four companies are in their last days, given the changing ways consumers are shopping and what they're shopping for. Those companies do include Sears and Kmart. Retail experts say that those two nameplates will not survive long, if they survive at all. You want some more? How about Barnes & Noble? Daniel Klein, writing for The Motley Fool, says that, quote, Barnes & Noble sales have steadily declined. The company hasn't done anything to reverse that trend other than undertaking some minor tests of selling alcohol in its cafes and adding expanded restaurants. He went on to say there is no turnaround plan, and while the bookseller isn't in imminent danger of closing, it's hard to see how the brand recaptures any sort of relevance to reverse its slide. That word, by the way, was relevance. JCPenney is the fourth company Klein thinks won't make it too much longer. Through the first two quarters of the year, comparable store sales were slightly better than even. That at least gave shareholders some hope. And then, well, then came a double whammy. First, CEO Marvin Ellison resigned to take the same job at Lowe's. Then came the chain's third quarter numbers showing that comparable sales dropped by 5.4%, ending any hope of a rally. So there you have it. Sears, Kmart, JCPenney, and Barnes & Noble. Will they make it? The experts say the odds are no. Well, let's turn the page for some more positive news, shall we? Wall Street was up today, as we shared with you earlier, buoyed by some of the news that the U.S. may ease China tariffs. On the news, the Dow jumped by over 250 points, but came off session highs later in the trade. The Dow closed up those 162 points, lifting itself out of correction territory. The S&P 500 ended the day up 0.7%, while the NASDAQ climbed by 0.7% as well. Caterpillar shares spiked by 2.2%, while Boeing jumped by 2%. As you well know, Caterpillar and Boeing shares are seen as bellwethers for global trade, given their exposure to overseas markets. Apple? Well, Apple rose by 0.6% today. At the bell, the Dow came up those 162 points to end at 24,370. The NASDAQ gained 49 points to close at 7084. And the S&P 500 was up by 19 points to end the day at 26.35. Gold lost $2.40 on the strength of equities to trade at $1,291.40 an ounce. Oil lost just 4 cents to settle at $52.27 a barrel. And the 10-year T-note was up a bit, paying 2.75%. When we come back, we're going to learn more about the world of shipping stuff. And we're talking about shipping lots and lots of stuff. Stephen Haas from DLS Worldwide, that's a subsidiary of R.R. Donnelly, is in the house. We'll talk about shipping and trucking and autonomous trucks as well. We'll also share some inside story about the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association that we're here covering throughout the rest of the week. From Mobile, Alabama, it is the Business News Hour. Stay with us.